Welcome to the third episode of the Frank Online Marketing Show. I'm your host, Tema Frank, and every week we talk about what Canadian companies are doing online. When I was a young woman working for a big bank in Toronto back in the 1980s, I remember being told by my boss that I was going to be attending a fancy event and was one for which we were going to have to dress formally. My boss and the other male executives would also be attending, and the company was going to pay to rent tuxedos for the men. But I was expected to shell out a lot of money that I didn't have to buy a dress that I was never likely to be able to wear again. This struck me as pretty unfair. I threatened to rent and show up in a tuxedo, so eventually the big boys gave way and said they'd pay me the equivalent of the cost of their tux rentals to go towards the cost of a dress. So I started looking to see if I could rent the female equivalent of a tux, a formal gown. There was one place in town that did rentals, but the clothes they had were, well, how can I put it, not exactly the sort of thing that a 20-something-year-old woman would want to wear. So I ended up buying something I could sort of afford, and of course it sat in my closet ever after. I really wish I had had access to a service like Rent Frock Repeat, the company you'll hear interviewed today. As company co-founder Lisa Delorme told me in our chat, things have come a long way since the 1980s. Her web-based business, which rents high-fashion party dresses, is booming. Let's find out why.
I'm Lisa Delorme. I'm co-founder and CEO of Rent Frock Repeat. We're an e-commerce site that quite simply rents designer dresses instead of selling them. So we go to New York Fashion Week, Toronto Fashion Week, and buy straight off the runway. And we make the dresses available for rent for 15 to 20% of the retail price.
And that would be for a one-night rental, or?
It's actually for 4 days. You also get a choice on the site for 8-day rental as well. So just in case you're going away on a vacation or a cruise, something like that, you have the option with the two. The 15 to 20% is for the 4-day. So if you have an event, let's say on a Saturday night, we recommend having the dress arrive on Thursday so you can do, you know, shoes, accessories, and put your whole look together. Wear it on Saturday night, and then we give you a prepaid envelope for you to return the dress. And the cost includes dry cleaning. We take care of dry cleaning.
Oh, that's very cool. It's interesting because when I saw what you're doing, it reminded me of many, many, many years ago when I was looking into renting a dress for a formal event that I had to go to. And at that point, this was probably like 25 years ago, such places existed, but they were kind of frowned upon. Is there still a little bit of that attitude?
Actually, we're finding the complete opposite. We've run into a couple of people that said that in the 80s, people were doing it for their wedding dresses as well. But I think in this day and age with people understanding, you know, what our landfills look like, and people are embracing what we call collaborative consumption more than ever. I think people realize owning something's not the important thing in life. It's looking at things in a different way and saying, how do I use that item? And so we've actually had the complete opposite, I think, from a trend perspective, and hopefully it's not a trend. People have been responding really well.
Tell me about what got you into the business.
Well, Christy and I, my business partner, Christy Weber, who's the president of the company, we were invited to a wedding, actually, one day, and we both kind of sighed. Christy was saying, I have dresses all different sizes in my closet, and I would say, I have dresses just aren't appropriate anymore, and we were just upset that we had these dresses in our closet that had only seen the light of day once, but just weren't appropriate for this upcoming event. We had to go spend more money on another dress. And we saw a similar business model, actually, down in the U.S. In a magazine, and we thought, this is brilliant. Let's do that. Let's rent. And they didn't ship to Canada. So that was April of 2010. And by May of 2011, we had opened our doors.
Cool. So what was involved in getting the business set up, and what were some of the hurdles that you faced doing that?
Well, I think the big ones were the two major things that we had to look at was obviously the website. It's a complete e-commerce business. And that wasn't our background. Neither was fashion. We both had a business background and had worked in for-profit education. So the area we were getting into was a little different for us. But, we found the right people. We partnered with a great agency that we did everything from our branding right through to all the details and logistics of the e-commerce site. It was setting partnerships up with Canada Post and looking at all the different options we did have from a delivery perspective and narrowing that down and deciding, do we do UPS, Canada Post, to finding a dry cleaning supplier that would work closely with us and understand the business. So there was a lot of logistics involved, and then of course getting introduced to designers and introducing ourselves and cold calling explaining what we were doing and you know, hoping that they'd allow us to use their designer dresses for that purpose. So there was quite a bit that's sort of the high-level stuff. And I would say probably the challenges, I guess maybe that's the one thing Christy and I look at, that every time we run into a closed door that looks like a challenge, we both have the attitude that this is something we can overcome. It might be finding the right people that can help us with that particular question, or just making a few more calls to find somebody that's going to open that door for us. But overall, I have to say, knock on wood, that it's been a pretty smooth process so far. I think maybe the you know, when we look back, we say there's a couple of things we would have done differently. What? And one of them is we started in my basement. We weren't sure how people would respond. And we quickly found out that we needed space. So 3 months later after opening, we found ourselves some space in Toronto. But overall, it's been a pretty good experience.
Do you have any business that's done strictly over the web, or do people always come to try them on first?
No, we actually have a combination of both. So we ship anywhere. We have people that have ordered from us from Halifax to Vancouver. So we get a mix. And then we have those that come in the Toronto area that do private fittings, and that, you know, they come in once, they try on 20, 30 different dresses, they save their top 15 to their wish list with the size that fits, and then those people continue to use us online as well. So, you know, it's nice versus retail that when you do have a special event, you don't have to go back to the store because the dress you wanted has now been sold or it's not there anymore. Now you know there's a service where you can actually say, oh, for this one, I'll use that particular dress. So it's been a combination of both. And we just started actually doing Skype consultations, so which has really helped people from a distance. They literally just, you know, put on a good tight-fitting pair of jeans and a tank top or something. We talk about their measurements, and then we give them options that would be perfect for their body type, and it's worked really, really well for us so far.
That's pretty cool. So you can actually, through that, you can help them figure out exactly how to measure correctly.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we do have those details on the site that a lot of people that as they start looking for the dress, one thing that we've gotten a really great response to is we shoot the dresses on different size models. And so we don't just do your typical size 2-6 foot tall model. We'll do some, you know, shots on a size 2, a size 14. And then when you actually look through, there's a little link for each model, and it shows you who the model is, so you can identify her by face, and then what size she's wearing. And on top of that, we tell you what her measurements are, what she weighs, how tall she is, in the hopes that you can identify with one of the models, and then you can see what that looks like on her or all the different dresses look like on her.
That is such a great idea. I don't know why more companies don't do that. That makes sense.
Well, thank you.
Speaking as someone who's short-waisted and a bit on the heavy side, you know, I like that idea.
Yeah, we're all different. Everybody's got different body shapes. And, you know, I always say the challenge is for people, most people think maybe if it's somebody that carries a little extra weight. But I actually think sometimes some of our challenges are people come in and they're really, really tiny and can't even fill out the dresses. So everybody has their challenge somewhere. So it's nice to identify and say, okay, I see someone who has the same challenge as me. Now I know these are the four dresses that work for that particular body type. This is perfect for me. Those are the ones I'm going to rent.
Very cool. How many different models of dresses would you have in stock at any given time?
Right now we have about 160 different styles, and we carry a little over 800 because we carry each dress in different sizes.
Now, how did designers react? Are they concerned that this will take away sales?
No, actually, we've had the complete opposite. You know, a lot of them look at it and say, we understand, you know, the maybe the 5% of the population in Canada that's walking into a Holt Renfrew, you know, those are the people that we're servicing right now that maybe financially can afford it. Or even from a geography perspective, I grew up in a little town of Cornwall, Ontario, and there was no, you know, designer brand companies that I could go shopping to. We'd have to drive out to Montreal or Ottawa. So they get that this is a really important part of their business, and now they're reaching the 95% that maybe financially didn't want to commit. Maybe they could afford it, but they didn't want to put down $600, $700, $800 on a designer dress for one night. So they're seeing that people are being introduced to their brand that may have not had a chance to wear it before. And for those that maybe even we carry designers that nobody else in Canada carries, like Christian Siriano and Bibo Malhotra. So they're being introduced to people that then may turn around and actually buy a suit from them or a great jacket. Or so they love that they're being introduced to a new market.
That makes sense. How did you determine the correct price point? Because it still seems like a lot of money for a dress for one event.
Well, I think it just depends on how you look at it. You could go find a dress. I think most people are responding to us and saying, I could maybe go out and get a dress for $125, but it wouldn't have the same fit. You know, we don't believe that a label is really good just because. Sorry about that, Tema.
No problem.
So Yeah, from a pricing perspective, I think, you know, people are saying I could go out and spend $125 on a dress, but it may not fit exactly like an, you know, a $600 or $700 dress. And I was adding that we don't believe just because there's a designer label that it is going to be a perfect dress, but we are looking for that quality. And so our response has been that people have really responded well to that. They think even if I do go out and spend $125 on a dress I don't love, I may not necessarily get a second or third wear out of that one either. So now they're starting to see that that the rental space makes sense.
If a dress arrives and it doesn't fit quite right, are people allowed to do any kind of alteration to it or no?
Alterations, no. I mean, we do things like we have two-sided tape, and so sometimes if there's a little gaping, I don't know if you noticed on the site, we send a second size for free. But we do describe it in detail. So if it's a little long, you know, we said these gowns are made for people that are 5'6 and above. Here are some gowns for 5'6 and below. But we don't do alterations. We feel that with 155 different styles, we can find something that fits. And if they're at a distance and for whatever reason they didn't call or didn't read through the measurements or they're just not crazy about it, we refund the cost of the rental. The only thing that we don't refund is the cost of shipping.
Fair enough. Tell me more about shipping. What was involved? You said you considered various shipping options. What were the pros and cons, and why did you end up where you did?
We ended up with Canada Post for one single reason. It was the fact that if they tried delivering and nobody was home, that there was a Canada Post outlet close to somebody's home within usually a couple of blocks. There was something nearby. Whereas with UPS, they could try delivering, hold on to the dress, try to go back again the next day, and if you weren't there, then they might actually bring it to a depot where you'd have to go, and it could be a couple of miles from your home. So we didn't look at it from a price perspective. We completely looked at it from a customer perspective and what would make most sense for them, because this is as much about the service as it is the dress.
In terms of how you have marketed the service, can you tell me a little bit about that? What has your approach been, and what's been particularly effective?
Yeah, we actually have only done public relations and a few shows, like the National Women's Show in Toronto. We did it in Ottawa as well. But we're very, very grateful to our members. One of the first questions you asked about was, you know, are people still feeling like, I don't know if I want to rent? There's a little stigma attached to it. And like I said, it was the complete opposite. And now 30% of people that actually join the site as a member tell us that they heard about us through a friend. So we started with a few stories. The media has been really interested in the story. For some reason, they've responded and picked it up. So we're very grateful to them, from the Toronto Star to Breakfast Television right across the country to, there's been just, you know, TV. We're on Dragon's Den November 14th. We taped that in May.
Very exciting.
So it's been just people have responded to the story and then started spreading the news.
You had referred to your customers as members. Is that in order to purchase, they essentially become a member?
Yeah, they can see everything on the site, actually. They join. It's a free service, but they join to take a look at the dresses, to be sort of the first in line that when we have new things, our members get to know about the new dresses that come in first, and, of course, any upcoming sales, that sort of thing that we have, they get first access because they're a member.
So somebody who has not yet joined, can they not see the full selection?
No, they can see everything on the site except for the dresses.
And why is that?
Because it's just one of those, from a business perspective, we looked at it in the first 3 months that we were open. We made it sort of an open thing that people could take a look at. But we had to make some strategic business decisions that it was great that, you know, we could put all kinds of money into public relations, get stories, get people to share the news, but then people come to the site and they leave and we never see them again. So we decided about 3 months in to make it a members-only site and said, you know what, if people really want to use the service, they're going to be okay joining as a member. If they don't want to join, chances are the service isn't for them, and that's okay. You know, we don't want to make them feel like they have to get information from us if they don't. And it worked really well. We're 24,000 members strong as of today.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
And how did your conversion rates then compare once you went to a members-only approach?
We're converting at 28% versus 5% that we were converting prior to going to a members only.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and again, I think, Tema, I mean, it's just that doesn't work for everyone, but we honestly feel that we'd prefer to have, you know, 24,000 members than a million members if the other 900 and change don't want to have anything to do with us. That's okay. You know, we don't feel that it is a service that everybody's going to want, just like every other business out there. But we do feel that if people want the service, they're happy to give you information about themselves.
That's very interesting, because typically you think if you put up a barrier like that, it would turn people off. But I think in
right.
your case, you're right. They're sufficiently motivated that that's a way of you screening out who's serious and who isn't. So
exactly.
How do you manage your online presence? How many people work on it? There are various aspects, obviously, about keeping the site uploaded with stock as well as dealing with PR and social media. Mm-hmm. How do you manage all that?
Well, we're actually a small but mighty team. We're three people. We actually have about 12 interns, though, and we couldn't do it without them. And
wow.
We hope we actually have a couple of that are walking around us right now as I speak. And we hope that what we give them with experience, actually, they're getting a chance to work with an e-commerce company. So we divide up. We actually do a lot of training with the interns. We give them a lot of attention, and then we give them some pretty significant jobs to do to help us out. I have Christy, my business partner, is actually one that does a lot of the day-to-day operations. She does a fabulous job of making sure that all the details are up there, and then she works with the interns as well to make sure that that's up there. So it's a continuous thing. We try to make it as seamless as we can with the because right now it's more about the dresses. So we have them come in usually within 3 or 4 or 5 week period in the fall and in the spring. And then sometimes we all just sit around and write descriptions about the dresses and have fun with that. And then the details that have to be in, the sizing, the measurements. So our interns will measure the dresses. So it's a team effort, but it comes together beautifully, and Christy heads all that up for us. So if you really like the site, kudos to her.
How do you see the business evolving? What do you think?
Well, we've actually been asked for a lot of different things. We poll our members in the fifth week that they're members with us. We do ask them for the feedback to see from a service perspective what we could be doing differently and then what they'd like to see happening down the road. And so we see ourselves doing things like accessories. We actually just put on plus sizes. We started 0 to 16, and now we carry through to size 24 because of the feedback we receive from our members. We also look at maternity as an interesting area because, that's another area where women say, I don't want to go out and spend money on a dress that I know I'll get one use out of, and then all of a sudden I'm changing sizes a month later or 6 months or 9 months later.
Yeah.
So there's a whole bunch of different areas we'd like to get into, and we hope. We started in Ottawa with a pop-up shop, and we're hoping to bring our pop-up shops across Canada.
Tell me more about that. The pop-up
shops. The pop-up shops are literally where we travel with our inventory set up. It's pretty seamless, actually, and we set up. It's almost like you could walk into our showroom in Toronto, but we find a place in that city, invite our members down to come in, try on the dresses, and do the same thing that our Toronto members do, which is to save all their favorites to their wish list. That way, again, if they're, 6 months down the road, they have a special event, they don't have to guess, they already have met us, they know what dresses work for them, and they can order right from the site. Instead of having to set up a showroom in each city, it's easy to pop up every 6 months to a year and allow our members to do that and have the comfort of knowing that the dress is going to fit.
So how much inventory would you bring with you? I mean, if you're flying, that must be a bit of an ordeal, no?
Yeah, well, we started with Ottawa because we drove, and it doesn't mean we wouldn't actually. We could actually do our business from the road with Canada Post because we can ship from any location where we are in Canada, and we literally wheeled, right now our 800 dresses are on about 15, 16 different racks, and we literally loaded the racks onto the back of a truck, and
yeah.
My mechanical engineering husband shot them down properly so that they would travel, and we thought we'd actually do a roadshow with them down the road whenever we do decide to do them in places like Calgary and Edmonton and Vancouver. So we drive from city to city and give our members the opportunity to do it then.
What about the seasonality aspect? I mean, I would imagine that headed into the Christmas season, there will be a surge in demand, and then presumably in the wedding season. How does that affect your operation?
Actually, it doesn't change much because on top of the seasonality of Christmas, people really love us because we do still carry spring and summer dresses, and when they're taking off for their cruises or a southern holiday in January or February, they love that there's an option for them to pick up dresses for that too if the stores haven't come out with those yet. So we definitely see a higher rate of rentals September through December, but we're pleasantly surprised at how consistent it is January through December. A lot of galas as well in January and February. It's amazing how many galas are being held across this country. So it's been great, and it hasn't changed things for us very much from season to season.
Well, that's interesting. Okay, I would have thought there'd be more to it than the seasonality. What advice would you offer to other retailers who are looking to use the web more effectively in their businesses?
I think probably the thing I would say the most is if it's something you're going to do, we've ran into a few people that have tried and they kind of dunk their toe into it a little bit. And I think that online, especially from when you look at it from a customer's perspective, which we all should be doing all the time, is I think you have to go in all in and make sure that if you're offering a service that it's really convenient. People go to the web these days because of convenience. And so I've seen some people that have make, you know, they make their products available online, but you can't buy it online. You have to go into the store. And I think that's kind of dipping in 50%. So it's like anything else in life. If you're going to do something 50%, you'll probably get 50% of the results that you're looking for. So I think that it's a commitment, and that when you're ready to make that commitment, make sure you're ready to go in 110%.
Did you ever have a moment where you thought about backing out, where you wondered why the hell you were doing this?
Yeah, that probably happens every 3 weeks when you come into a new challenge, because you kind of sit there and go, okay, wait a minute, things have been quiet for 2 days, but then all of a sudden for 7 days after that, things go really, really well. But Christy and I have had those sometimes, you know, if we have one of those days that we're just like, isn't anything going to go right today? And we look at each other and I say, are you questioning things? And we both kind of say, you know, it's kind of weird. We know it's just a bad day. There has just been something from the very beginning that, as much as we have those regular moments like everybody else does, there's just something in the bottom of our stomach that says we're on to something here and people are really responding. And for having been open like 17 months, we're pretty happy with where we're at, and we recognize that it's just a bad day.
Absolutely. Very cool. It's very exciting to see what you're doing. Good luck on the Dragon's Den. And
thank you.
Thanks very much, Lisa.
All right, thank you.
The companies we heard from in the first two episodes were both pretty exclusively web-based. RentFrock Repeat, I love that name, has a bit of a blended model. Because they're in Toronto, which has got to be the biggest market for formal gowns in Canada, they can overcome people's fitting fears by letting them come into the showroom and try the dresses on. Once the customers know what sizes they fit in a particular designer's dresses, they'll have more confidence placing later orders online. So it's a really sensible strategy. But rather than confine themselves to the Toronto market, they've decided to go after the whole country. They had to take some pretty interesting steps to make people comfortable ordering something as important as this online. I mean, let's face it, ordering a dress for a big formal event is a pretty high-risk thing, because if you mess up, you could just be stuck with this huge event and nothing to wear. When you sell online, getting people to make that first purchase is usually the hardest part, so you want to do everything you possibly can to lower the barriers. For some businesses, that's a no-questions-asked, money-back guarantee. That may be really great for your business. Give it some thought, because the reality is most people aren't going to try and return something unless there genuinely is a problem, and if there is, you need to know about it. That approach is not as useful for RentFrock Repeat, because in their business model, money back isn't going to do you much good if your event is tomorrow and you don't have a dress that works. So they've done some pretty clever things to overcome that barrier. I mean, obviously, they've got instructions on the site about how to measure yourself properly and how to convert those measurements into sizes. Pretty well all companies that are selling or renting clothes online do that now. Also, pretty well everybody who's in the clothing online business, they've got pictures of what the clothes look like on a model. But what these folks do differently that I absolutely love is they use models in a whole bunch of different sizes. They tell you what the model's name is, they give you their full measurements, and basically they really help you bond with the one who's the most like you. So it's another way of forming a personal connection with the company, as well as seeing what would work on you and what wouldn't. I looked at the site and they have a huge array of dresses. I think she said in the interview what the number was. So they also have expert fashion consultants that you can chat with, and they'll help guide you to dresses that are likely to flatter your shape. Because otherwise you could easily get lost spending hours on the site and getting frustrated because you're not finding the right things. One of the other cool things that they're doing is they've started doing this consultations by Skype. What a smart idea. That way they can see you, you can see them, they can get a sense of what your clothing taste is, they can help you get the measurements right. Very clever idea. Another thing that they do is when you order your dress, you can actually get them to send you a second size at the same time for free, just to hedge your bets a little bit. And if it turns out that neither of those sizes work, they'll actually talk to you on the phone, try and figure out what you really need, and send you something else on a rush basis, so to make sure you've got something that'll work for your big night. So they're really doing everything that they can to take away the barriers to trying them out. They're also doing an interesting blend of the real world and virtual approach with their pop-up stores, which are a traveling roadshow of dresses so that people in other towns and cities can have the experience of trying on the dresses firsthand. I bet that creates some pretty diehard fans. One thing I found interesting and really kind of counterintuitive is that their conversion rate skyrocketed from 5% to 28% when they made it harder to see the collection. Every conversion study that I've ever read says to demand as little as possible from your site visitors up front. Let them see your stuff, fall in love with it, and then they'll order. But here they've played the exclusivity card. You're not a customer, you're a member. And you have to become a member before they'll even let you see the dresses. Now, it's free to join, but it does take some of your time, and it gives them an idea of where you're from, and it gives them your contact info so that they can build their database. I wouldn't advise this approach for most businesses, but if you're selling something that's upper end, this exclusivity card can really work for you. Not just anybody is allowed into your club. If you think it might work for your business, I'd really urge you to test your bounce and conversion rates both before and after you try it, so you'll know that you can go back if it isn't working. I mentioned in the last show that a conversion rate is the percentage of site visitors who end up taking the action you want them to take at your site. In this case, it's placing an order for a dress. In other cases, it might be calling you or signing up for your email list. No matter what that action is, be sure to measure, test, measure, test, measure some more. One thing I've heard from everybody I've interviewed so far is that to be successful online, you have to keep experimenting and keeping track of what works and what doesn't. It's a never-ending process of tweaking and testing. I also just used the term bounce rate. Now, the bounce rate is the percent of site visitors who come to one page in your site and immediately leave it rather than taking the action that you've asked them to take or going to check out other pages on your site. One of your goals is to lower that bounce rate. This is especially important if you're getting site visitors from cost per click advertising. The last thing you want to be doing is paying for people who aren't interested in what you have to offer to click over to your site. And the bounce rate is a really good indication of if that's happening. That's all for today. Join me next Friday for another interview with a Canadian company that is bravely going where few Canadian companies have gone before. And in the meantime, please send me your questions. I'd really like to be able to add a Q&A section to the show, but I'd much rather use your real questions than have to make some up. You can go to frankonlinemarketing.com/show to hear other episodes. And you can also, while you're there, leave your comments or questions, your suggestions for topics you'd like me to cover, or companies that you think I should interview. Bye for now. Talk to you next week.